Venus still reigns over the March skies with two conjunctions, three glorious visible planets each morning, and the astronomical start of spring. March 2020 is looking pretty good, and welcome to Observing with Webb, where a high school astronomy teacher tells you what you're looking at, why it's so cool, and what you should check out later this month. At night, I'll go through the lunar events, some of the other events, some naked eye planets, and a quick thing on constellations. So let's get started. So we've got the first quarter moon on the 2nd. That means the right half is lit up and it's visible until midnight. Then about a week later on the 9th, we've got the full moon, which is visible the entire night. Last quarter moon is on the 16th, so you get to get some early observing in dark skies first. That's visible from midnight into the morning on the 16th. And then the end of the month again is a great time for dark skies as the new moon is on the 24th. Now, as far as events go, nothing really happens for the first 2 weeks or so. In fact, really the only thing is on March 8th, we have daylight savings time beginning at 2 a.m., which is good for the morning astronomers. You get a little more darkness as you go into school. But it also means most astronomers have to stay up a little bit later. But let's move on from that. That's a whole nother discussion, why we switch. But then we've got some fun stuff going on. We've got from the 17th to the 19th, we have the Moon, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn having a nice close encounter for those 3 days. So all you have to do to see this is get out after 5:30, daylight savings time, get out after 5:30 each morning, and all 3 mornings, and enjoy, first of all, just enjoy moving up and to the right. You'll see Saturn, Jupiter, and Mars in the southeast. But from the 17th to the 19th, the moon will be joining the party. So the moon will be up and to the right of Mars on the 17th, just below Jupiter and Mars on the 18th, and about 6 degrees down and to the left of Saturn on the 19th. Then the following day, we have the spring equinox, astronomically the first day of spring, even though meteorologically spring starts in the beginning of March. And, well, honestly, it should be the middle of spring if you look at, but that's a whole other thing. Anyway, technically it is 11:50 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on the 19th, but I take that as the 20th being the first real day, so it's not important. Just move on with your day. Now, on the 20th, though, there will be a conjunction. I don't use that term very often, but Jupiter and Mars on the 20th will be within 1 degree of each other. I'll go into more detail when we talk about the planets, but the 20th, mark that on your calendars. Morning sky, conjunction with Jupiter and Mars. And then a week later, there's a nice close encounter between the moon and Venus. Now to do that, you just get out after sunset, watch the southwestern sky, and on the 27th, the moon will be a young, thin crescent about a fist width below bright Venus. And on the next night, the moon moves to about 5 degrees to the left of Venus, a little bit thicker and a little bit higher. These are easy to spot, but 27th and 28th of March, close encounter between the moon and Venus. Then we have a second conjunction on the 31st between Saturn and Mars in the morning sky. They're going to be within 1 degree of each other, and I'm going to talk about that in the planet info in just a minute. So there you go. Second half is really more exciting. Moon, Mars, and Jupiter on the 17th to the 19th with the moon. The 20th is a conjunction, and the 31st is another conjunction. Put those on your calendars now. With that, let's move on to the planets, at least the naked eye ones. So we've got one sunset planet, and three morning planets with lots of excitement. So let's do the sunset planet, which is Venus, first. Venus will be off in the west. Cool thing is this month we are reaching a maximum Venus. What does that mean? That just means it's reaching its highest height above the western horizon, and that happens on the 24th. Just watch the sunset, look west. Venus is the brightest light and the first object that you see off in that direction. Now, if you have binoculars or a telescope, you can actually see that Venus is going to be half lit. And that actually works with the geometry. That's when it's a 90 degree angle, that's when you would see half of Venus being lit up. And that's when it would be highest in the sky as well. So make sure you take a look out there, see if you can see that. And yeah, that's it really for Venus. It is going to start fading away. I think by the end of the school year, it's actually back in front of the sun for us. Now, throughout the night, we don't really have anything that's visible, but let's get into those morning planets. Here's what we got: Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, and two conjunctions with them as well. Now, the main show in the mornings is the lineup of these three planets. Any morning this whole month, get out after 5 a.m. and find the brightest spot in the southeast. Start there. That's going to be Jupiter. That's the brightest one. Now, from here, from Jupiter, you can find Saturn and Mars. Now, Saturn will be the bright spot that is consistently less than a fist width down and to the left of Jupiter. So find Jupiter, less than a fist width down and to the left is Saturn. Now, Mars has a different story, though. Starting out on the opposite side of Jupiter as Saturn, so up and to the right, about a fist width up and to the right of Jupiter, that's where Mars will be on the first. Now, each day it gets closer and closer to Jupiter until it finally passes Jupiter just within 1 degree or one pinky's width at arm's length on the 20th. That's going to be a really great conjunction. So on the 20th, Mars will be within 1 degree of Jupiter. But wait, there's more. Mars then continues this eastward march. And remember how I said Saturn was to the left, toward the east? Well, it continues to move, and then Mars gets closer to Saturn until it gets to another conjunction on the 31st, where it's passing Saturn within 1 degree of the planet, which is pretty cool. This is a great time to get the telescopes out to get some good pictures, see if you can get both of them in the same frame. Just absolutely wonderful time for the planets. With that, why don't we move on to some constellations? So if you're out there listening to this, let's say you're out there by 7 p.m. Now, Orion is going to be about as high as it will get for the night, about halfway up the southern sky. And it'll tempt us to tour these winter constellations. How do we do that? Begin by finding Orion, by looking for three stars in almost a straight line and close to each other. This is Orion's belt. And this is surrounded by a larger vertical, almost rectangle of stars. Orion is our guidepost for the other winter constellations. So just start at the left belt star and draw a line, straight line connecting the rest of them, and then continue that line far past the last belt star, about 20 degrees or two fist widths held at arm's length. There you will find the V constellation of Taurus, with bright red Aldebaran at the top left of the V. Now, Taurus is part of a big cluster of stars known as the Hyades. Remember that line you just made, though? Follow it just 10 degrees further, about one fist width, and you'll find a mini, mini dipper of stars called the Pleiades, which is another open cluster of stars within our Milky Way galaxy. All right, let's rewind, go back to the belt, but instead draw the connecting line from right to left and continue about 20 degrees past the belt. There you will find the brightest star in the sky, known as Sirius. Perhaps you can also see the constellation Canis Major, known as the Big Dog, which is the constellation Sirius is in. Now I'm going to stop there for this month, and maybe next month we'll go to Gemini, Auriga, and Canis Minor. But let's say you're getting out before bed. You can look up straight up. You should be able to find Auriga and Gemini. The pentagon-shaped constellation is the charioteer known as Auriga, and its brightest star is Capella. And Gemini, the twins, will be to the left of Auriga, with bright Castor and Pollux heading them up. Now, for reference, Orion will be below both of them. But let's say you're getting out before work, and what you can see if you look pretty much straight up is the Big Dipper, Bootes, and Virgo. Now, the Big Dipper should be easy to find in the northwest. Just follow the curve of his tail or handle to the next bright star you see, about 30 degrees away. That is Arcturus. We call this follow the arc to Arcturus. That's the brightest star in Bootes, Bootes, which looks like a kite. Now you take that same curve that you made and follow it about another 20 degrees to speed on to Spica, the brightest star in Virgo, one of my favorite constellations as it reminds me of the Dickinson Mermaid. So that is it for the month of March. Make sure you get out there, especially that second half. You've got two conjunctions in the mornings. You got some cool moon stuff going on. Don't forget that this podcast is found on my Podbean page, mrweb.podbean.com, also on Stitcher and iTunes. There's a video version on my YouTube channel. Username is MrWebPV. And I can be found on Twitter and Instagram as @MrWebPV. The Pequot Valley Planetarium and its events and updates are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @PVPlanetarium. With that, I'd like to wish you all very clear, dark skies for the month of March.